podcast service of Quaker Gap Baptist Church in King, North Carolina, where our mission is to glorify God by growing Christ-like people.
You know, life can get pretty heavy at times. Maybe you've felt that heaviness before. You carry the weight of all of the mistakes that you've made in the past. And as we've talked about, some of the regret that comes along with those mistakes. Have you ever said those words, if I could only go back, if I could only go back, so many things that I would change. But those things are in the past, and we can't recover those things. We have the fallout that comes from relationships that have been broken, and the hurt that remains from those broken relationships. We have the bad decisions that we've made, some of them repeated over and over and over again. We have the guilt of not meeting our own expectations. We set such high expectations for ourselves, and then we don't meet them. And then the frustration of our continual failure when it comes to the temptation in our lives. The fear of what others might think if they knew who we really were, if they knew the thoughts that we really have, the things that we have done. Life can get heavy. But the Lord Jesus Christ promises us that His burden is light. And He says, come to Me and take My burden upon yourselves. Is it really possible to offload the weight of our sins? Is it really possible to take all of that regret and that hurt and that pain and to just remove it? Layers and layers of filth that have accumulated over years and years of being unrepentant and not confessing. Is it able? Is God able to really, really cleanse us? Well, we're going to read a passage of Scripture in just a moment that I think will solidify in our hearts the fact that, yes, we have a God who forgives. But I want to remind you this morning where we have come. And we, in this Reignite emphasis, began by returning to the throne of God and being reminded that we have a holy God, a God that we should be in awe of because of His great beauty and His great compassion and His great love, but also a God that we should fear because of His power, because of His judgment. We need to return to the throne of God and experience His holiness once again. And then the natural response to experiencing the holiness of God is regret. We fall to our knees because we recognize that we are sinners. We recognize that we cannot even approach God's holiness. We are not even comfortable beneath His gaze because we know who we are and we know what we've done, and we realize that we have a lot to be sorry for in our lives. But last week we talked about the fact that we must move out of that regret and into repentance, where we turn away from that sin and we begin to turn toward God, toward the Lord Jesus Christ, where we change our mind and we change our heart and we say, I'm no longer going to live my life in such a way that I'm in charge. I'm going to surrender and I'm going to say, God, You are in charge, and I'm going to turn toward Him. And this morning we come to receive. Talking about the part that God plays after we're through with this repentance, turning toward Him, God naturally, by His character, responds to our repentance and gives us forgiveness. And we just need to be willing to receive the forgiveness of God. I want to remind you that we kind of started this journey by looking at the life of Isaiah. And I want to remind you of this picture of Isaiah as we look at that, go back to that list, because I want them to see that list as we remember Isaiah. Okay, Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 6, he says that he had this vision of the Lord who was seated on a throne, high and exalted, and above Him were these angels, and they were flying around the throne and they were calling out to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory. And so Isaiah experienced the holiness of God in that place. And it says that the sound of their voices when they were speaking, the doorposts and the thresholds and the whole temple was filled with smoke. And here Isaiah had a rare opportunity to get a glimpse of the holiness of God. I believe that was the Lord Jesus Christ himself seated upon that throne. And Isaiah's response was immediate regret. Woe is me. I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord God Almighty. Look, I've seen his holiness, I've seen his majesty, and I realize my sin and the filth that has come from my life, and all I can do is say, woe is me. It didn't stop there, though. Because in his repentance, as he turned to the Lord, as he felt this regret and this remorse and this sorrow for his sin, we're told that one of the seraphs flew with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. And with it, he touched Isaiah's mouth. And he said, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. Beautiful picture from Isaiah. He saw the holiness of God. He felt the regret of his sin. He turned to the Lord, and the only one who could do anything in that instance was the Lord himself. And so the angel went and took the coal from the altar and brought it and placed it upon his lips. Right after he said, my lips are filthy, he was cleansed. He was made whole. His sins were atoned for. So let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to 1 John chapter 1. Because we have been given this same opportunity that Isaiah received at the throne of God. First John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. And if you have a Pew Bible this morning, that would be on page 862. Follow along as I read. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Aren't those beautiful verses to your ears and your heart this morning? First thing we learn from this, and from knowing who God is and sitting at his feet and reading his word, is that forgiveness flows from the spring of God's throne. I want you to imagine forgiveness as this broad river that is flowing through the valley. And we see this river and we recognize the refreshment that it brings. It's the river of forgiveness. Where does that river of forgiveness come from? It flows directly from the spring of the throne of God. Look, we are sinners. It says, if we say that we're not, we're liars. But the Word of God teaches us that there is an endless, limitless flow of forgiveness that originates at the throne of God, with God himself. John here says that he is faithful and he is just and he will forgive us of our sins. It starts with God. Forgiveness is a glimmering facet of God's character. A glimmering facet of God's character. Now, God is many faceted. You look upon God, you'll see sparkles all over. There's all sorts of wonderful things that to be said about God, and we will spend all eternity observing and being overjoyed by the character of God. But one facet of his character is that he is a forgiver. We have this false picture of God sometimes. I think it comes from our earthly relationships. We say, well, you know, God has forgiveness. He has forgiveness. But he's going to make us grovel for it when we need it. You know, when we come to him with our regret and our sins, we say, God, I'm so sorry. And we start to bargain with God. Look, Lord, if you will forgive me this one time, I promise that I'm going to go to Sunday school next Sunday. Now wait, erase that. I will go to Sunday school for a month of Sundays, God, if you will just forgive me of this one thing. If you will just remove this from my life, Lord, I will surrender, I'll turn my life over to you. But, you see, that's not the picture of forgiveness, and it's not the picture of God that the Bible shows us. Look at these verses with me. Exodus chapter 34, verses 6 and 7. And he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God. Look at this description. Slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation. Get this picture of God, where God is a just God, and God must punish sin. However, the desire of God's heart, this great facet of his character is this, that he loves us, and he wants nothing more than to forgive each and every one of us of every sin that we have ever committed. He wants to completely wipe it clean from all of our lives. This is the heart of our Father God, that he desires to forgive us completely. And he's not waiting for us to make a deal with him. He's not waiting for us to grovel and to get on our hands and knees and to plead for it. All he wants from us is for us to change our heart, for us to turn toward him. Psalm 86, 5, another description of God's character. You, Lord, are forgiving and good, abounding in love to all who call to you. Look, anyone who turns from their sin and calls to God receives this forgiveness. This is his desire, to forgive us, to cleanse us of our sin. So God is a loving, merciful, compassionate God, and he desires to forgive you. He has done everything that he can possibly do in order to forgive you. Everything. Even sending his son to die for you. He has done it all. You just need to receive it. Well, the key to receiving the free forgiveness that flows from God's throne is the condition of your heart. That's the key to receiving that forgiveness. Forgiveness flows through hearts of repentance. We talked about this repentance last week. See, but John talks about that here in 1 John chapter 1 in verse 9. He says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to purify us from all of our unrighteousness. If we confess our sins, the word confess in the original language means to agree with. To agree with. So what we're talking about here is to confess our sins to God means that we're simply agreeing with God that our sin is evil, that our sin is filthy, that our sin is not presentable to him. Forgiveness comes when we agree with God about our sin. And we have a tendency to deal with our sins by hiding them. I don't know about you, but that's my first response. You know, I didn't do that. I didn't do that. I had nothing to do with that. You see, we take the dirt and we sweep it under the rug. We put the rug down and hope that nobody notices that that sin is there in our life. Or perhaps we ignore the sin and hope that it goes away. Or maybe we just try to justify it and say, nah, that's not really sin. I didn't really do that. But we know deep down in our heart of hearts, no matter how many sins we've swept under the rug, that they are there. And we recognize the sin that is in our lives. No wonder we end up carrying so much guilt around. You know, we're kind of like the soldier who can't remember where he planted the mines in the minefield, right? Our life is filled with all these sins that we buried here and there, these lies, these deceptions that we don't want anybody to know about. And we forget where we buried them in our lives, and we forget which story we told to which person, and we know that eventually it's all just going to blow up in our face. So we come to the Lord, and the Lord says, look, agree with me that your sin is filthy, that it's unacceptable, that it's wrong, that it's evil. Just agree with me, because what I want to do for you is I want to flow forgiveness into your life. I want to lift that carpet, and I want to take all of it away. I want to take those mines away. I want to change your life completely. The way to forgiveness involves confession, agreeing with God that our sin is evil. Our heart attitude must be one of repentance, one of confession, and then we receive forgiveness from God. Look at these verses, Mark chapter 1, verse 4. So John the Baptist, this is John the Baptist's message, appeared in the wilderness. What was he preaching? He was preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. See, repentance in John's message was necessary in order that the people would be prepared for the forgiveness of their sin. Look at Luke chapter 24. Starting with verse 45, he opened their minds, Jesus did, so that they could understand the scriptures. He told them, this is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations beginning at Jerusalem. This is the message not just of John the Baptist, it was the message of Jesus. It's the message of the church today that will continue until Christ returns. We must repent of our sins and turn away from them and toward God, and in doing that, receive forgiveness from the Lord. In Acts chapter 3, verse 19, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. You know, if we're striving for those times of refreshing, for the feeling that our sins are wiped out, that they're removed from us, that we're clean, it starts with recognizing our sin, confessing it to God, repenting of the sin, and then receiving through that repentant heart the forgiveness that only God can offer. Unlimited forgiveness is flowing from the throne of God. But like any stream of water, it always seeks the path of least resistance. God searches for repentant hearts, those who are desperate to receive his forgiveness, to be cleansed from that sin. He looks for people who agree with him that they are sinners, and his forgiveness flows through their lives. Now, the Lord takes all of the filth of our sin, and he takes our heart of repentance, the filth of our sin, the heart of our repentance, and his character of compassion and mercy and grace, his forgiving nature, he takes all these things, and they meet together at the same place, the cross of Jesus Christ. You see, forgiveness flows through the filter of the cross. All of our sin, all of our nakedness, all of our guilt, all of the troubles, the bad decisions of our life, all of those things, they meet the forgiveness of God there at the cross. Doesn't matter how compassionate and forgiving God is, apart from the cross of Jesus Christ, there is no forgiveness of our sin. It had to be done. It was the natural outflow, the response of his forgiveness. And it doesn't matter how hard you confess. It doesn't matter how deeply you feel sorrow over your sin, how long you complain about the imperfect state of your life. Apart from the cross, there is no forgiveness of your sin. Because forgiveness is impossible apart from a righteous sacrifice. Throughout the Old Testament, sacrifices were made for the forgiveness of sin. They were repeated over and over and over again. Because there was no one sacrifice during the days of the Old Testament that covered the sins of everyone for all time. But Hebrews chapter 9 tells us the truth about our Savior Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 9, beginning with verse 22. In fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. I mean, you can't read the Old Testament without saying, what is the deal with all of the blood? Why so bloody? Why so gory? Why do they always got to bring sacrifices? Why do they always have to break the neck of the sacrifice? Why do they always have to cut off the head of the sacrifice? Why do they have to drain the blood? What is that all about? Well, without the shedding of the blood, there is no forgiveness. This is the righteous standard of our God. But then we're told this about the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 26. He, unlike the sacrifices of the Old Testament has appeared once for all at the culmination of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. The blood of Jesus Christ satisfies God and forgives our sin once for all at the cross for all eternity. So when we envision the Lord Jesus Christ hanging on the cross, suffering, dying, we realize that the cross is the meeting place of our sin, the meeting place of God's mercy, the meeting place of our repentance. All of those things meet together at the cross, and there we receive forgiveness. God forgives us on the basis, not of our repentance, not because of how sorry we are, but on the basis of what Christ did there on the cross. That's where forgiveness begins. Now look with me at Romans chapter 7, verses 24 and 25. These are the words of the Apostle Paul. After talking about the fact that he's a sinner and there's nothing he can do about it, you remember we talked about this passage just a couple of weeks ago, the regret that Paul had because he said, here I am, a person who does not want to sin, but I continue to sin. A person who wants to do the thing that is right, but when I try to get around to doing it, it never quite happens the way that I wanted it to happen. And we all have faced that before. He concludes by saying, what a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? And so that is the regret of Paul's sin. But then he changes his tune completely mid-sentence. Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in my sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. Apostle Paul was saying this, look, God has done this amazing thing through his son Jesus Christ so that even me, he called himself the chief of sinners, even with all of the horrible things that he had done in his past, even with his continuing sin that he regretted, that he could bring it to God through Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. So have you received the forgiveness of God? The forgiveness that he offers freely, that flows from his character and from his throne, that flows through the heart of those who repent, that flows like a filter through the cross of Jesus Christ. Have you received that forgiveness that God offers? Well, the final observation this morning about forgiveness is that forgiveness flows into the sea of forgetfulness. Here's the way John put it in the passage that we read, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. He cleanses us, purifies us from all of our unrighteousness. He takes our sin and he removes it from us. Scripture has numerous ways of saying this. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18 says, come now, let us settle this matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they will be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. Like the wool of a newborn lamb, just white, fluffy wool. That God will remove it from us and change us completely. Psalm chapter 103, verse 12. David writes, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. And I can't help at that point, but remember the story of the prodigal son. And remember the point at which the prodigal son was in the muck and the mire of his sin. And he was with the pigs, and he was saying to himself, boy, doesn't their food look good? And then Scripture says, he came to his senses. He came to himself. Suddenly, a change was made within me. He said, wait a second. I can return to my father. And he returned to his father, not really expecting what he received. A father running down the road with his arms outstretched to receive his son, to embrace him, to forgive him completely, and not just to forgive him of losing all of that money not just to forgive him of taking his repentance, of taking his inheritance, of dishonoring him, not just to forgive him, but then to throw him a celebration, a party, to kill the fatted calf and to throw a party for him. That's the forgiveness of God, who has compassion on his children who fear him. So there's no reason to be carrying around this heavy burden of our guilt. These layers of filth that we have accumulated, this backpack full of guilt that we carry with us every day, because God has taken care of those sins through the cross of Jesus Christ. Forgiveness results in a completely clean slate. The trouble is that believers, even though they've received this forgiveness, continue to walk around defeated. We need to receive forgiveness every day. We need to receive forgiveness every time we sin. God's not holding it back. God's not holding the forgiveness back. God is not a man who says that he forgives you, but then brings it back up with even greater bitterness, proving that it was never forgiven in the first place. Have you ever had that happen to you? Someone says, I forgive you. And then perhaps weeks, months, years later, they bring it back up with a vengeance. You remember that time. Does that sting or what? Because all it proves is that that was never forgiven. All it's done is groan and fester. God's not like that. Scripture tells us that God takes that sin and he removes it completely and he throws it away. It's gone. Look at Micah chapter 7, verse 19. You will again have compassion on us. You will tread our sins underfoot and hurl all our iniquities into the depths of the sea. So this is what God will do. He will take our sins from us. He will throw them on the ground. He will trample them and then he will deposit them into the deepest part of the sea. Separated that far from us, just gone away from us, gone from his memory, should be gone from our memory, gone from our lives, so that we can wake up to a new day as new creatures, begin our new life. And yes, we will stumble and fall. We will continue to sin in our lives because we continue to live in this broken world with a sin nature, with an enemy who is tempting us to sin. So we will continue to sin. But even those sins are forgiven. We just need to agree with God that those sins are evil. Confess them to him. They are forgiven. I think sometimes that we're probably harder on ourselves as Christians than God is on us. You know that? That we continue to harbor this hatred of our sin and we walk in it day by day and we continue to fall to the sin. And God says, look, I have forgiven that through the blood of my son, Jesus Christ. Can't you just stop? Can't you just stop? Will you just take that and realize that I've already thrown it to the bottom of the sea? It's as far as the east is from the west. It's cleansed as white as snow. Can't you see that? It's gone. And yet we continue to walk in that sin and to live in that sin and to wallow in that sin and to feel the regret over that sin. Folks, it's time for forgiveness. And to receive that gift of forgiveness from God and to let that stuff in the past go. God's forgiven it. Why can't you forgive it? Let it go. Start fresh with a clean slate all over again. True forgiveness is a release. In fact, the Greek word aphiemi for forgiveness means to let go. To let go. This is what God has done. He has let go of our sin. So what's wrong with us is that we continue to grab onto it and hold on to it. I'm not going to let it go, God. And God says, I've already let it go. You need to let it go too. We just need to come before him daily. Confess our sin before him. And once again, feel the wash of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleansing us completely. It's interesting that we know physically that we need to wake up every morning and take a shower, you know, or, you know, eventually someone's going to get offended, right? Usually we're the first ones to get offended, but, you know, I don't know how it works, but somebody's going to get offended. So we realize that we need each morning to get up and to do some sort of work on ourselves in order to make ourselves presentable, in order to cleanse ourselves, in order to be ready for the day, in order that we can go out into the world and not be offensive to others. We all understand that physically speaking. What about spiritually? What does a spiritual shower look like? Do we need to get up in the morning and say, God, I know it's only 8 o'clock, it's only 7 o'clock, it's only 4 o'clock. I know some of you get up real early. But I've already sinned. I've already sinned. And I confess to you, God, that I need your forgiveness today. I know you've already given it to me. I know that it's eternal. I know that I have your forgiveness through Jesus Christ, but Lord, I need it to register in my heart and in my soul, and I need to feel the cleansing of your forgiveness this morning. Lord, please forgive me of my sins. And you know, sometimes we pray this prayer. You know, we're at the dinner table and we say, Lord, thank you for food, forgive us of our sins, amen. Wow, have we really taken the time to discover what it is we're saying to God? Forgive us of our sins. Well, that's a flippant thing. No, it isn't. But every time we say, Lord, forgive me for my sins, our mind should go back to the cross and we should see our Savior, Jesus Christ, hanging upon that cross, his body, his blood. We should see that whole gory scene over again in our heart of hearts and realize that that's what it took for God to forgive us. And then to receive that gift all over again and say, I am clean because Christ died for me. So it's not just, Lord, forgive me. It's God, on the basis of who you are, your character of mercy and grace and forgiveness, and what you've done through your Son Jesus Christ on the cross, I receive, first confessing my sin, I receive this forgiveness that you offer freely to me. Help me, Lord, not to take it for granted. And help me as I walk in this world, to the best of my ability, to remain unstained and to walk with you and glorify you. May the world see your glory through one who has been forgiven. Isn't that beautiful? That's forgiveness. It not only works on the level of the individual, by the way, it works on the level of the church as well. That we as a people, as a congregation, an assembly of people who come together and worship God as one, his body, that we need to receive the forgiveness of God corporately as well as individually. I believe it works on a national level too, that all of the believers in this nation need to repent of our sin and turn toward God and receive the wash of his forgiveness. That his church across this world needs spiritual awakening and revival like we have never needed it before. That we need to experience afresh the forgiveness that only God can offer. You know, we will never, as individuals and as a church and as a nation and as God's people, we will never experience spiritual awakening until we get up off of the ash heap of our regret and we repent and confess those sins and stand in the shadow of the cross and fully receive the forgiveness of God. So, you know, over the last couple of weeks as we've preached on regret and repentance, I hope that you've had the opportunity to look at some of these verses, you know, look at some of these devotions, to meet with your cottage meeting, to talk to some friends, or maybe just in the silence of your own heart to reflect on what we've been talking about. And I hope that you have felt the weight and the gravity of your sin. We need to do that. It's important. But there comes a time when we need to stop, quit wallowing in our sin, and we need to accept the fact that we who have repented have received the forgiveness of God. And we need to get up from the ash heap and we need to walk out into the world and we need to say, the Lord has forgiven me completely. And we need to start living like the forgiven people that we are in Jesus Christ. We'll continue to talk about what that looks like as we continue down this road to spiritual awakening. But consider this week. God has forgiven you. You are forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. Will you just agree with Him? Agree with Him that your sin stinks. Agree with Him that there is no other release for those sins than the Lord Jesus Christ. Quit hiding it. Quit sweeping it under the rug. Bring it out before Him in full view and say, God, I hate this stuff and I want to change. And bring it to the foot of the cross. And then experience the forgiveness of God that flows from His character, that flows through your heart as a repentant person, that flows through the cross of Jesus Christ, and then completely flows out to the ocean and each one of those sins to the bottom, as far removed as possibly could be from you. Can you see that? Can you feel that? And then let's get up and walk away from those regrets and take that weight off of our shoulders and receive the light burden that Jesus offers, His forgiveness, and walk out into this world as the children of God, loved by the Father, and celebrate the fact that we are all forgiven. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we know that as Christians and as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have a gift that perhaps the rest of the world could never understand. Lord, You have forgiven us. But Father, we confess this morning that sometimes it's difficult for us to experience that forgiveness in our heart of hearts, to really feel what it means, and then, Lord, to live our lives as forgiven, Lord, because we continue to beat ourselves up. Father, we continue to hold on to the sins that You've already released. Father, we continue to feel the weight of those sins, even though You've taken them from us and removed them from us as far as the east is from the west. Heavenly Father, I pray for each person in this room today, first, Lord, that it would be true of each one that we have come to the cross of Jesus Christ and experienced the forgiveness that You offer through Him. But secondly, Lord, I pray that those of us who have made that decision in our lives and have put our faith in Jesus Christ for salvation, Father, that we wouldn't continue to carry these sins around with us. Father, help us to agree with You that these sins are dirty, they're filthy, and they have no part in our lives. And Father, help us once again to feel the wash of Your forgiveness, the blood of Jesus Christ. And Father, help us to get up and go forward in the power of that forgiveness. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.